Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we are told that people in America just aren't interested in church. We're told that the people around us just aren't interested in spiritual things. And I want to tell you this morning that I have decided to not believe that. I have decided, in fact, to rebuke that lie, because I think that it is a lie that we have been told that we have believed. And I am not denying a reality around us, a state of affairs around us, a spiritual environment that is around us. I'm not denying any of that, but I really do think that that is a lie from the enemy that people will not be interested in and that people will not respond to the Lord Jesus Christ when he is presented to them. The reason I'm rebuking it and calling it a lie is because God says differently. God says differently. I was reminded of this Wednesday. There were several of us gathered together at noon as we were praying during our fast. And it was actually Shane who prayed something that really reminded me of this, that God says differently. God says, Jesus himself spoke the words to his disciples. He said that the harvest is what? The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said. There are plenty of people who are ready. There are plenty of people who are interested. God said it's not the harvest that is weak or the harvest that is few. God said it's actually the workers who are hard to find. God said it's the workers who are few and far between. And so, God, we are taught to pray for people in the world. But in this specific context, it wasn't that God said pray for more harvest. God said pray for more workers. Pray for more people who will be talking to other people about Jesus. And so I've decided that I'm going to believe the Bible. How about you? And I heard a phrase during the last few weeks that I really, really like. It's a phrase I'm going to start using, and I'm going to use it enough that you're going to start using it, okay? And the phrase is this, that we want to be about helping people find their way back to God. I like that. I like that a lot. We want to be a church who is about helping people find their way back to God. And here's the reality. There's not a single person in the world that that description can't fit. Because every person who has ever lived and who has ever breathed, every person who is alive and breathing to this day is a child of God. Because God is their creator and God is the one who formed them and made them and gave them life. And so every one of us started with God. And whatever has happened in our life and whatever journey we're on, there's not a one of us that can't be described as someone who would benefit from finding their way back to God. God loves us so much that he sent his only son that anyone who will believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so we want to be helping people find their way back to God. I want you to think this morning, I want you to think of somebody. I want you to see a face. I want you to call a name to your mind or have a name on your lip. If there's somebody in your life, somebody in your world, somebody in your circle of influence that you would love to see them find their way back to God. Somebody maybe who has walked away from God. Maybe somebody who's never really known God. Not have a relationship with him. Is there somebody you know, somebody you love, that you would like to see them find their way back to God? Now, I want you to think about how you might move in such a way that you would be the one to help them find their way back to God. What if you could be the one? What if there were some very practical, specific, helpful things that you could build into the rhythm of your life that you could be the one to help them find their way back to God? We have been in a series for several weeks now called How to Be Disciples Who Are Making Disciples. That's one of our phrases. That's one of the things that describe what we are about as a church. We are becoming disciples who are making disciples. That's the great commission that Jesus gave us. In the first part of that series, we have focused on how to be a disciple. In this next part of the series, I want to be really practical and helpful about how you can make disciples. How can you do that? What is a rhythm that you can build into your life? What are some practical steps that any one of us, every one of us can do to help bring people back to God? And to help you with that, and to remember that, we're going to use the word bless, B-L-E-S-S, because you have already been blessed with everything you need to be a blessing to somebody else and help them find their way back to God. So I want to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 as we kind of quickly and briefly tell part of the story of God and what he is about in this world. In Genesis chapter 12, God called a man named Abraham. He called Abraham, and God's plan, as we see it unfold in Scripture, is that through this man Abraham, God was going to raise up a family. And through this family, God was going to raise up a nation, and out of this nation, God was going to raise up a Messiah, a leader, a redeemer, who was going to be the one who did the work and accomplished the reality that everyone could come back to God. His name is Jesus. All that started in Genesis chapter 12, that the whole world would come back to God. And the strategy, if we can use that word, that God decided to use is a strategy of blessing. Isn't that great about God? That the strategy that he put together to win the whole world back was a strategy of blessing. Here's the commission that God gave Abraham from Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country and your people, leave your father's family, and you go to the country that I will show you." Is this on the screen? Okay, we don't have the monitor this morning, so I wasn't sure. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Every time the word bless is in there, I want you to say it out loud, okay? I'm going to read the scripture, but when the word bless comes up, I want you to say it. So on three, just practice, because I want you to say it like you really mean it. One, two, three.
Bless.
Oh, you're so good. Okay, here's what God said. "I will build a great nation from you. I will
bless
you, and I will make your name famous. People will use your name to
bless
other people. I will
bless
those who
bless,
and I will curse those who curse you, and I will use you to
bless
all the people on earth." That's a lot of blessing, isn't it? God told Abraham, "I know that things are not the way that they're supposed to be." Even for Abraham specifically, not just in the world, but even for Abraham specifically, God said, "I know you don't have a son yet, and I know you long for a son, but I have a plan. And I'm going to bless you," God said to Abraham. "And as I bless you, I want you to be a blessing to everyone else." Abraham, you are blessed to be a blessing. Now let's fast forward that 3,000 years. God's plan hasn't changed. It's been further explained. It's been further revealed. We know who the Messiah is. We know who Jesus is, and he has come. But the plan, the strategy of blessing hasn't changed. God is saying to every one of you this morning, "I know that things are not the way they're supposed to be. They're not in the world, and they're not in your world. I know that," God says, "but I have a plan, and I'm working it out. And my plan is that I'm going to bless you, and I want you to, in turn, be a blessing to everybody else, to the folks who are around you. I want to bless you so that you can bless others." You were blessed, folks, to be a blessing. And what God started in Abraham, He is continuing in us this blessing strategy that in it, God's desire is that everyone would come back to God. Everyone would come back to God. Jesus used this strategy of blessing. Everywhere that Jesus went, he was a blessing. He was so much of a blessing that as Jesus went around, parents would take their children and they would bring them to Jesus. And what did they want from Jesus? A blessing. Because that was exuded out of Jesus. It's who he was. He blessed people everywhere that he went. Dr. Luke, who was a physician and a historian and wrote the Gospel of Luke, here's one of the stories he told in Luke chapter 19. He said, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, I want you to remember that phrase. He was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Okay, Jesus was in Jericho, but he was doing what? He was passing through. He was on his way somewhere else. Now, we've studied Jesus' commission for a lot of weeks now. And he commissioned us and he said to us, as we go. See, Jesus modeled for us exactly what he taught us. As he was going, as he was passing through, he was on his way to somewhere else. He wasn't there to see Zacchaeus, but as he went, he met Zacchaeus and Jesus chose to be a blessing to him. Jesus stopped. He called Zacchaeus down out of the tree. He invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house to eat. In short, Jesus blessed Zacchaeus, and I want you to see that what that blessing unleashed in Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus said to the Lord, I want to do good. After he had been with Jesus and heard Jesus and been blessed by Jesus, he said, I want to do good. I'm going to give half my money to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to pay them back four times. Do you see? Zacchaeus was blessed by Jesus, and what did it draw out of Zacchaeus? This plan and this strategy that God's had since Abraham, that when we're blessed, we get to bless somebody else. We just keep passing the blessing along. And then in verse 9, Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. See, Jesus' blessing is more than just making people feel good. Jesus' blessing is more than just giving them something they need. Jesus' blessing is more than just a warm feeling that will go away after a few minutes or a few hours. Jesus' blessing brings salvation to your house. That is good, folks. That is good. Jesus' blessing brings salvation. Jesus' blessing brings people back to God. It's the heart and plan of God. And Zacchaeus, then it says, Jesus says about him, today this man is a son of Abraham. He's a son of Abraham. So again, Jesus is connecting all this all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. It worked then. And it will work now. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. Jesus was blessed to be a blessing. Zacchaeus was blessed to be a blessing. And guess what? You have been blessed to be a blessing. And in case you aren't clear how you're connected to Abraham, I want to give you a little theology from Galatians chapter 3. So you should know that the true children of Abraham are those who have faith. You don't have to be born in the DNA lineage of Abraham physically, but through faith in Christ, you are born into the family of Abraham. The scriptures told what would happen in the future. These writings said that God would make the non-Jewish people, that's all of you as far as I know, right through their faith. God told this good news to Abraham before it happened. God said to Abraham, I will use you to bless all the people on earth. Abraham believed this, and because he believed, he was blessed. All people who believe are blessed the same as Abraham was. And so through faith in King Jesus, you are a part of God's blessing strategy. And if you want to make things right, if you want to see justice done, if you want to see people changed, if you want to help someone else find their way back to God, then I invite you to join God's blessing strategy. Because, folks, you have been blessed. You have been blessed in the greatest sense of the word. Because you've been blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation has come to your house. And so you have been blessed. But physically, you have been blessed as well. Blessed in some ways greater than anybody else living in any part of this planet. And you're meant to enjoy those blessings. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not. You're meant to enjoy those blessings. They're from God. Every good gift comes from God. And so if you've got a good gift in your life, it's from God. You don't have to feel bad about that or guilty about that. You enjoy that blessing from God. But you enjoy it in such a way that you turn it around so that you can bless someone else. God teaches us constantly. His very nature is to give and to share, to pass along, not to hoard or hold on. So enjoy those blessings. But remember that you've been blessed to be a blessing. You have resources that God has given you. You have a home. You have a car. You probably have a driveway full of cars. You have tools in your shed. You have appliances on your cabinet. You have more food than you can eat in any given day. All those things are blessings that God has given you so that you can bless someone else. You have resources. You have influence. Every single one of you have influence on somebody, over something, in some place. God's given you that influence. Use it. Use it to be a blessing. You have skills. You have abilities that have been given to you by your Creator. Some of you are good with your hands. I am so jealous of you. You have been blessed with that ability. I have a friend who's got that blessing. He is good with his hands. I love to watch him bless other people with that ability God has given him. I have some friends who are blessed musically. I call them my musicianaries. I'm so thankful they use that blessing to bless us. I got a friend who's writing a book, sharing the blessings of wisdom and experience that God has given him. That's going to be a blessing to read that book. Oh, there's so many ways we've been blessed. Some of you have been blessed with, you're good at conversation. Some of you are good at listening. Some of you are good at caregiving. Some of you are good at cooking. I'm looking forward to be blessed by your cooking here in a little bit. Some of you are good with kids. Some of you are good with scripture. Some of you are good at fill in the blank. All of you are good at something. I know you are. You don't think you are, but I know you are because God made you. And he's given you abilities and skills and blessings. All of you can do this blessing. Would you do this for me? Every one of you have been blessed that you can smile. I was so thankful that one of our shepherds, Steve, last week during the faith conversation, just encouraged us to smile when we get together. That's a blessing. You don't have a clue how you might bless somebody when you smile at them today. There's so many ways that we've been blessed. And we've been blessed to be a blessing. And that is God's strategy for bringing people back to him. And so I want to give you five things this morning. And we're going to flesh these out over the next few weeks. Five blessed practices that we are going to learn and that you have in you and that you can use to be a blessing to other people and draw them back to God. The first one is B. Did you know blessed starts with B? B, begin with prayer. That's the number one thing. Begin with prayer. It all begins with prayer. Jesus began his ministry with prayer. He began calling his disciples through prayer. Prayer is not only how you discover your mission. Prayer is how you live out the mission. It always begins with prayer. That's the B. The L is listen. You're doing it right now. See, you're so good at it. Listen. But listen with compassion. That's part of the strategy. We want to begin with prayer. We want to listen with compassion. Watch Jesus. Listen to Jesus. When you see him in Scripture, Jesus listens a lot. You know how I know? Because he asks questions all the time. He listens. Now, I think all of you, I think this is true. Every one of you have one mouth and two ears. God's built it into us to listen more than we talk. As followers of Jesus, we should be known more for our listening than our talking. That's the second one. L is listen. Third one is E, eat with somebody, eat together. Meals are central to the ministry of Jesus. The Bible's full of eating. One of the great things we look forward to in heaven is this great banquet, is what the Lord calls it. This great supper that we're going to eat with our Savior. Meals are a part of life. Going and getting a Coke or getting a coffee with somebody is one of the quickest and best ways to take an acquaintance and turn it into a friendship. This week, most of you will eat 21 times. Actually, most of you will eat more than 21 times. But if you had three meals every day, you'd eat 21 times. What would it be like if just one or two of those you used to eat with somebody and be a blessing? E is for eat together. The S is for serve in love. And really, once you start eating with people and listening to people, they're going to tell you without you even having to ask what ways they need to be served. And then we serve in love. We meet their needs. We help them out. We lend a hand. And as we do that, we gain credibility with them so that we can do the last one. We can share our story and share the story. It's got to end there, because what we want is not just to make people feel good. We want people to have salvation come to their house. We want people to come back to the Lord. And so we want to always get to the last part of this blessing. And we want to share what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus is doing in us, and what he can and will do for them. Folks, this blessing, it's just the way God works. It's the way he's built it into us that we can help people come back to God. Jesus did this. His disciples watched him and learned from him, and they went and they did this. And they made disciples who we know as the early church, and they went and they did this. And you can do this. This is a way we can bring people back to God, that we can make disciples who are making disciples. And if you're following Jesus, I'm going to tell you this morning, this needs to be your life. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you make that claim and you're going to be like him and do what he does, this needs to be the way you live. You need to be blessing people because God has blessed you. It's simple. It's organic. It's natural. You've been blessed to be a blessing. And through blessing others, you can help bring them back to God. It can be a framework for how you live out your day and how you live out your week. And it's how you go about accomplishing this great commission that Jesus has given all of us. I don't want it to be a program. People are not projects. But this BLESS is a way for us to remember this, and it's possible for every one of us to do this. And so, if you've been listening to me talk for several years now about being a disciple who makes disciples, and you've said, I don't know if I can do that, or you've said, I don't know how to do that, over the next few weeks, I'm going to give you some really practical, helpful, biblical ways that you can do that, that you can be a blessing. You begin with prayer. You listen with compassion. You eat together. You serve in love. And you share the story. And you don't do this alone. Jesus always sent his disciples out, just like Noah put animals on the ark, two by two. So we do this with each other. We do this with friends. We do this with family. And so I invite you to begin praying this week. And just start by thanking God for his blessings. And then move on to asking God how you can be a blessing to someone else. And asking him to bring somebody into your life who needs to find their way back to God. And you begin to find some practical ways to bless them. And I hope you'll come back every Sunday, eager, with smiles on your faces, to learn more and more how to be that kind of blessing. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for every good gift, for every good thing that you have given us. And we acknowledge this morning that all good things come from you because you're the source of everything that's good. So thank you for your blessings in our life. Thank you especially for the blessing of Jesus in our life. Thank you that there was somebody in our past. There's not one of us who didn't have somebody in our past or some group of people in our past who blessed us, who prayed for us, who listened to us, who ate with us, who served us, who shared with us. We thank you that we know Jesus and he knows us. And salvation has come to our house. So, Father, we want to be a blessing to other people. Teach us how to do that. Make us bold in doing that. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.